was pretty good. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. We'll try it one more time. Good morning, everyone. All right, glad you guys are here. My name is Brent, one of the pastors here. It's always an honor to be able to fill in for our senior pastor, David, when he's not here on a weekend. I love this series because it is right where we are as a faith community. We are in some uncharted ground, and we are navigating what the future looks like. And it's also good for those of us in life. It's graduation season right now. So we've got some graduates that are here. We've got some of us that are looking at big decisions to make in our life. And it is a very, very relevant topic that we're looking at. Life really has to do with the decisions that we make. Last weekend, Pastor David kind of summed up his message with this statement. It's that God cares about the who before the do and the why before the what. His idea there was is that God really cares about who you and I and we are becoming. And if we are becoming the right kind of people, we are going to be doing the right kinds of things. And if our purpose or the why of our life is God's, then it's going to lead us into the right direction. But that takes a lot of decisions. And decisions are one of those things that make some of us very, very nervous. I can just do a show of hands right now. How many for you, you absolutely love making decisions? You just love it, love it, love it. Okay, like four of you, you're weird, right? How many of us would say, decision-making kind of stresses me out? Put the hands in the air. Okay, good, good. I was gonna say, that has been the kind of the theme of the entire weekend. Last night and this morning is a lot of us struggle with decisions. And I think it's for a lot of reasons. Number one is because we have so many options. I just think about in my lifetime, the amount of options that I now have and we now have, whether it's, you know, the TV stations that we watch or even the restaurants we go to. I went to a new restaurant this week, Chronic Taco. Have you guys been there down the road here? It's great. I've never been there before, so it's a new restaurant. There's a line. Normally, I don't like lines, but I was at a new place, and so I was comforted by that. There's a lot of words on the wall, and the line was moving quick, and then I'm getting nervous because there's so many options. And at the very last minute, I started seeing pictures, and I saw one that had a burrito with French fries inside of it. And I thought to myself, how's that ever a bad decision, right? Like, if in doubt, add French fries and go. So I pointed at that, and they're like, gotcha. And all of a sudden, like, whew, all of a sudden, I enjoyed my meal because there was pictures. That's why I like Denny's. But for those of us, it's not only in the decisions because we have so many options, but also for a lot of us, it's the fact that we have this social media that's out there. And for a lot of us in social media, we're looking at our ordinary life and we're looking at everyone else's extraordinary life and we're comparing their highlight reel to our like loser reel, right? And we find ourselves like, gosh, I must be making the wrong decisions. Look at them, they're winners and we're losers. And so for some of us, when it comes to making these decisions, and that's what we're going to be talking about, it's the wisdom to decide, no pressure, but it's been said that life is the sum total of the decisions that we make. And for some of us, we think we're making decisions, but really decisions are making us. And as Pastor David said last week, the decisions that we're making today really will tell the stories of our tomorrow. And when we begin to look at God's will and we begin to look at how he wants us to make decisions, sometimes I think we get a little bit misguided and we have some misunderstanding on the topic. We hear concepts like the perfect will of God, and we are all very aware that we are imperfect, and we kind of have a fear of messing up God's perfect will for our life. For some of us, we're just like struggling, we're stuck at feeling like we need to know the clear, absolute next step. We need to know exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, or we're not moving. And others of us, we make decisions, and then we begin to feel a little bit of opposition, and we wonder if we made the wrong decision. You begin to get a little bit of pushback, you begin to get a little bit of resistance, and you begin to question of whether or not you discerned God's will. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn in our Bibles this morning to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you guys have your Bibles or your devices, turn there. I also put some of it on the texts that are there in your notes online. You also have the app, and you can fill in some of this. As you're turning there, I want to remind you that the author is Paul. Paul's somebody who was a big-time leader in the early church. We know that he was a church planter. He was on the front lines of what God was doing to build his kingdom. We believe and trust that he heard God's voice and he discerned God's will because he was one of the authors that wrote the New Testament. So we're not questioning whether or not he himself discerned God's will, but I think you're going to be surprised this morning to see how sort of fuzzy it all really was. And so with that, what I want us to do is look to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 6. And he starts out with a really emphatic decision-making word. He says, perhaps. Don't you love that? I mean, wouldn't you rather hear him say, absolutely, for sure, I know. But what does he use the word, everyone? He uses the word what? Perhaps. He says, perhaps. I'm going to stay with you for a while. Now, he doesn't even know how long he's going to stay. It's not going to be an afternoon, a day, a week, a month. So he doesn't know if it's going to happen. He doesn't know how long it's going to happen. And then he says something that strikes fear into all of our hearts that have family that live far away. He says, I might even spend the winter with you. To which you're like, oh my gosh, that's a season. That's a really long time. He said, I'm going to be there a long time, maybe, maybe not, for I don't want to see you now and make a passing visit, but I hope. And that word hope isn't a confident hope. It's kind of like, I'm not even sure this is what God wants us to do, to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. Meaning, if this is even what God wants us to do, then we're going to do this. But he goes ahead and qualifies. He says, but we're going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door of effective work has opened up to me. So meaning he knows he is where he needs to be now, but he's not exactly sure what is next. And then he says this. He says, and there are many who absolutely love, love, love what we're doing. I mean, they're liking all of our posts on Facebook, right? I mean, they are giving us like happy grams. You know, they're writing love letters to us. No. What does he say? There's what? Opposition. There is opposition to what is happening. So what am I saying? I'm saying isn't it interesting at times how we discern the will of God and we think to ourselves, if we're getting opposition, then somehow we miss the mark. But what Paul's saying here is no, this is exactly how God is choosing to lead him during this season. It's just real clearly to me here that Paul didn't have all the details, yet he remained on mission for God. And God doesn't always provide all of the details, especially on our timing. If I've discovered anything over the years of being a Christ follower, is that God is seldom early, but he's never late on his timing. Last week, Pastor David looked at this idea, this big idea of the who before the do and the why before the what. In essence, what he was saying is the who is the person that we are becoming. And if we're becoming the right kind of people, it's going to be moving us into the right place. And if our purpose or the why is the right purpose, it's going to continue to move us to the right what. But here's what a lot of us want today. We just want God to tell us what he wants us to do. Show of hands, if you could take all the guessing out of it and you knew exactly what God wanted you to do, you would take it right now. Ready? 1, 2, 3, put your hands in the air. That's almost all of us. You want to know exactly what do you want me to do? And I've got good news and bad news. The bad news first. The bad news is that God doesn't always clearly show you what he wants you to do. But the good news is that he does provide wisdom to discern what he wants you to do. When you begin to think about the wisest person in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, a man by the name of Solomon, this is what he said. He said, getting wisdom is the wisest thing that you can do. Proverbs 4:7, getting wisdom is the wisest thing that you can do, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. The Bible tells us that Solomon could have asked for so many things. He could have asked for power and prestige. He could have asked for money. He could have asked for safety and significance. But the one thing that he asked for was what, church? Wisdom. God asked for wisdom. You know, for me, when I'm talking with many of you and you're saying, Brent, I have a decision that I need to make. Can you help me make this decision? Most of the time, I'm not going to help you make that decision. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. And my prayers will oftentimes go like this. God, I pray that you would reveal through the power of your Holy Spirit your truth. And that you would provide your wisdom and then give your strength to act on that truth. What I know to be true is that God does give wisdom when we choose to trust him and ask him. So here's kind of my message in a big idea. The big idea for the message is this, is that God will not always show us what to do, but he will give you the wisdom to decide. God's not always going to show you exactly what to do, but here's the good news. He does give you the wisdom to decide. And so for the couple of moments that I have remaining here this morning, what I wanted to do is I wanted to share a simple biblical message with you. Can I just say, though, just because something is simple doesn't make it easy. In golf, I love golf. There's some simple truths about a good repeated golf swing. Keep your head down, watch the ball, swing easy. But how many people actually do that? Yeah, hackers galore. There are some of us, spiritually, we make it way too complicated. What I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to make sure it's biblical, applicable, but above all things, helpful today. So if you're taking notes, if you would, go ahead and write down the first word. If we want to make good decisions, we need to make sure that we're walking with the right people. We need to walk with wise people. I've heard it said, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And what we know is that the friendships and the people that we surround ourselves with are big time impacts into how we choose to live our life. When I'm having crisis conversations with people and their life has seemed to implode, it's a matter of time where we move beyond the incident and we begin to pull back from that, and we can begin to see that there's a group of people that were around that person or that couple, and they were not a part of the solution, but the people were a part of the problem. Solomon, that guy that was pretty smart in the Old Testament, this is how he said it in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He said these words, walk with the wise and become what, church? Wise. He's saying is that if you want wisdom, it's going to be directly connected to the people that you choose to do life with. He goes on to say, if you associate with fools, you're going to get yourself into trouble. It's kind of like the person who is struggling with an alcohol addiction. They're a recovering alcoholic, and they're like spending time in the local sports bar because that's where all their friends are. Not smart. I have conversations with people all the time, and they're finding themselves struggling to make wise choices and being a fully devoted follower of Jesus, and I begin to ask them, who are they spending time with? Guys, this is what I know to be true. That the relationships and the friendships that we have will determine the direction and the quality of our life. And who we choose to spend time with will determine whether or not we become fully devoted to Christ or fully devoted to this world. That's why at Cross City, we're all about creating environments where you and I and we can grow in Christ. Primarily, it's through a life group. That's going to be an environment where hopefully people are moving in the same direction as becoming more and better disciples of Jesus. Whether it's a life group or maybe it's a support group in Celebrate Recovery or maybe in divorce care. Maybe it's a serving group. But these are groups and environment where you can begin to walk with other people that are walking wisely. As parents, that as you are here, your children are over in Cross City Kids. I said Cross-Eyed Kids. That's hilarious. All right, Cross City Kids. And they hopefully are there with a loving, caring adult in a small group, and they're learning to walk wisely together. Right now, 150 junior high and high school students are in our youth group, and they're hearing a message about Jesus and learning to walk wisely. In our college group, our young singles group, our singles group, our married group, our seniors group. It's why we create these environments where we can walk wisely together. One of the things that I've learned after over a decade of working with students, youth, junior high, high school, college, young adults, is this, is that it is absolutely impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. It is absolutely impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. And I know some people want to stress test that theory, but it never breaks down. Why do I know that? Because the reverse is true. I know the times in my life when I have taken good, positive, next wise steps has been because I have walked with wise people. I think about when I wanted to grow up and become a godly man. What did I do? I found a godly man. I'm like, dude, that guy, when he talks, it's like Jesus is talking. When he acts, it's like Jesus is acting. And it's not weird. I want to go spend time with that guy. When Amy and I got married 20 years ago, there were some couples in our life, and I just loved the way he treated her and the way she treated him, and we pursued relationship with those couples. When we had kids, we began to see the couples who had kids that weren't super annoying, and we're like, we want our kids not to be super annoying. Will you show us how to do that? And we spent time with families that didn't have super annoying kids. When there was a time in our life when we needed to make some better financial decisions because we were just making poor choices, we began to look at people who it seemed to me like their area where they were stewarding that all that God had entrusted to them, and we're like, we want to live our lives and honor God with which is already His, and we just kind of spent time with them. Whether that's spending time with people physically that you know are going to help you make better physical decisions, or maybe it's those professionally. I remember when I was feeling a vocational call into ministry, and there was somebody who I'm like, I think God's calling me into ministry. Can I just hang out with you and figure out if this is what God is doing in my life? I began to realize this is that really the relationships that I had and the who that I was becoming was leading me into the purposes that God had for my life. So what's the first thing? The simple thing, but the really hard thing, is we have to be introspective of who we're spending our time with. And those relationships, and even sometimes the relationships that started out as good, they can begin to become unhealthy. Not every small group is a healthy small group. Not every accountability relationship is an accountability relationship. And so I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to ask you to do an assessment of who you're spending time with. And the chances are you're going to figure out and you're going to see that those relationships really will impact the quality and the direction of your life. Number two, if you're taking notes, if you would, write this down. We need to ask God for wisdom. Would you write that down? We need to ask God for wisdom. Now, that word ask is something that just kind of breaks my heart. And that is that there are people in life that I wish I could help, but I have no idea what they need. Doesn't that just hurt your heart when you knew you had a way to help them save money or save time or save a hurt? I think about in my life the needs that I have and how oftentimes I think it's pride that holds me back from asking for help. You know, if it's to be, it's got to be me. And I kind of place myself into that position where I feel like I need to be everything to everybody. The truth is that's not wise. That's actually pretty foolish. Scripture says this in the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, what's the key word there? What do? You ask, because God is super stingy, right? God is totally not wanting you to have any of his wisdom. Absolutely not. God is generous. And when you ask God for wisdom, what does he do? He makes a promise. And what's the promise? That he will give it to you. Do you guys know something? When God makes a promise, he never breaks a promise. And so if God says, if you'll ask him for wisdom and he makes a promise that he'll give it to you, do you think he'll break that promise? Yes or no? Absolutely not. It goes on to say, and he's also not going to make you feel stupid when you ask. You got those people in your life where you ask them questions and you just feel like a total imbecile because they make you feel like an idiot? Don't be that person, because that's not God. You know, my daughter, Paige, she's at a fun age right now. She's 11 years old. She's in the fifth grade, getting ready to go into the sixth grade. And I love this age because she still thinks I'm smart. No, she does. She thinks I actually know stuff. And so she'll like come and ask me questions about her homework or about life. And it's just a lot of fun. And I got to be honest, I love it. Like, because what I've heard is that's going to change here like really soon. I'm going to go from she thinks I hang the moon to she thinks I live in another universe here real soon, right? But as a loving father that cares for my daughter, when she asks me for wisdom and for advice, it just makes my heart leap to know that I'm able to love and to guide and to direct my daughter who I love. How much more true is that not for our Heavenly Father? Our Father loves to give us wisdom. But sometimes we just push him off, sort of how we all did when we were young. I'm not sure exactly when it was that I began to realize that my parents were no longer idiots, but pretty smart. But I think it's when we started having kids. We went to St. Agnes, and Blake came out, and I was kind of thinking there's going to be an instruction book with him, right? But there wasn't. So I had to, like, ask Mom and Dad, how do you do this parenting thing? And I began to figure out really quick they were actually pretty smart, pretty wise. And they knew how to do things like change diapers and fix toilets and stuff like that. And as that relationship, and as we spent more time with my parents over the years, that relationship has become deeper and deeper, and I've realized my parents are incredibly wise. Got me thinking about our Heavenly Father, and that's exactly how God views us, His children. The psalmist writes it beautifully this way. When he says this, he says, the Lord says, I'm going to guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you, and I will watch over you. There's this picture of a loving father that wants to be engaged in our life. But the question is are we spending time with him? Here's kind of the idea, the principle. The principle is this. If you want wisdom from God, you have to spend time with God. If you want to have wisdom, you got to be willing to make the investment. And did you guys know that one of the primary ways that God dispenses his wisdom to us is through his revealed wisdom dispenser called the Bible? B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. I've discovered like 95% of the questions that people ask me are clearly dispensed in this device right here. We just don't always look to it for some reason. But this is what I've discovered. With God's word as our guide, and when we are in Christian community with each other, wow, we make better choices and better decisions. And did you also know that the Holy Spirit, for those of you that are followers of Jesus, did you guys know that 24 hours a day, the Holy Spirit of God is there helping you to discern truth? Helping you to, through the truth of his word and community with each other, that God's word, through the empowerment of his Holy Spirit, is there watching over and guiding your life. And so the psalmist, when the psalmist says, I will guide you along the best path for your life, I will advise you, and I will watch over you. That is a beautiful picture of a loving and caring and engaged Father, Heavenly Father. Now, I realize some of your earthly fathers weren't that for you. I realize some of your parents weren't loving and caring and interested, but I need you to know something. That's exactly who your Heavenly Father is. You may never have felt like you measured up to your dad or to your mom, but if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on his refrigerator. He cares about you, he loves you, and he is so honored when you'll look to him and you'll ask him for help. And when you make a choice, and you ask him, he's not going to make you feel stupid. Because I want you to look at that scripture. I want you to know something. Even though he is going to be active and guide and advise and watch over, nowhere in that scripture does it say that God will make the decision for you. Guys, I need you to know something. As parents, our responsibility is for about 18 years is to raise up our children in an environment where they can learn to make wise decisions for themselves. So they'll move out of your house and get a J-O-B. And meet Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful, get married, have kids, so you can have more fun with the grandkids. But if you find yourself stuck in the perpetual cul-de-sac of making all the decisions for your kids, something went wrong. And God is not going to make all of your choices for you, but he does desire to guide, advise, and to be a part of the process. I'm reminded of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not on our understanding, but in all of our ways. Acknowledge him, worship him, ask him, and he's going to make our paths straight. He's going to lead us in the right direction, but he's not going to make the decisions for us. But the key is we've got to trust God. So what's the simple steps? And I'm saying simple is easy. But they're right there in Scripture. The first is, man, we need to ask for wisdom. And if we ask, God will give us wisdom. We need to take a look at the people that we're spending our time with because our relationships determine the quality and the direction of our life. And then comes a place and a point and a time when it's D-Day, everyone. If you would write this down, we need to decide. We need to make a decision and trust God to guide. We need to decide and trust God to guide. As many of us find ourselves right now on the diving board of life. If you guys have a pool at home that's not heated, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Right now in Fresno, it's unseasonably cool. And everyone said amen. Yeah. But your pools are cool as well. And you're trying to decide, is it refreshing or is it freezing in that pool right now? And some of you are kind of like that in life with the decisions. You're stuck on the diving board of life. And you're stuck with decisions, decisions, decisions. And you have what has been commonly called paralysis by analysis. And you are overthinking it. And you're placing things into life. And if you're being honest, you're over-spiritualizing it. Yes, I'm a pastor and I said it. Some of you are placing some weird conditions on the decisions that you need to make. Some of you are like, I am not moving to Oregon until that bush burns and talks to me. Guys, that happened in the Bible one time. I'm not gonna ask her to be my wife until I see a double rainbow. What does that mean? I don't know. Oh, double rainbow, it's weird. Some of you are waiting for an animal to talk to you. Guys, I just need to tell you, that's weird. It's weird. It's just weird. Stop doing that. Makes the rest of us look weird. Because, guys, those happened like one time, thousands of years ago. Can God do that? Absolutely. He can do whatever he wants. Does God do that often? Not in the normal universe. He reveals his truth through his word, through the Holy Spirit, and through relationships. I encourage you all to trust him and decide and trust that he'll guide. And some of you right now are waiting for perfect conditions. You're waiting to have enough money. You're waiting to have enough time. It seems too choppy to jump into the water. And Scripture says very clearly, if you wait for perfect conditions, you're never going to go. Some of you guys have been at the crossroads of needing to make a decision for a long time. And today is the day to decide. I've discovered about 95% of the questions that we have are ethical and moral issues, and they're clearly answered right here. And in about 5% of them, I believe in Christ, God gives us the freedom to choose. Guys, Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you may have abundant life. Enjoy it. Make a decision and trust that God will come through. Guys, there's an example. There's not just an example. There's countless examples in the Bible of how God used disciples, and if you're a Christ follower, you're a disciple, to discern his will where it just was kind of sort of uncertain, and that's okay. As I begin to kind of close up here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, there's this example. The Apostle Paul has been going through some opposition. And if you've been going through some opposition, you're in some really, really, really good company. Because you can still be within the will of God and be experiencing opposition. He's in opposition. He's trying to discern and decide what the next step is going to be. And in chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians, it says, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. Guys, basically, this is what Paul is saying. He is saying is, you know, we're trying to discern the will of God, and I think it's time to go. Notice what he didn't do. Paul didn't start speaking in the King James Version. Thou servant hath decided to stay upon. No, he didn't make it weird. He didn't drop the God card. He just said, it seemed like we should move on. Guys, it's all over the Bible. We just miss it. I think about in Acts chapter 1 when there were 11 disciples and they needed another disciple to kind of like bring the band back together because Judas kind of like, you know, kind of hung himself. So they're trying to like decide, so hey, who's the 12th disciple going to be? So do you guys know what? They had the very first ever put your name into a basket and see who you're going to buy a present for Christmas, right? They put names in a hat, they cast lots, they pulled out Matthias's name, and he became the 12th disciple. You're thinking, well, that's just one time. No, it's all the way through the book of Acts. You can see in Acts chapter 15 at the Jerusalem Council, they're trying to have a conversation about what does a Gentile need to do to become a disciple of Jesus? They need to eat different, look different, be circumcised? Because the Gentiles are all going for like a secret handshake, not circumcision, right? Okay? And this, that's funnier than your laugh didn't give me, but whatever, right? So, and at the end of it, what they did is they said, you know what? It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. So just do this. Just Just don't offend people, but enjoy your freedom in Christ. Okay, is there some of us that as we're waiting here, we're gripped by fear? And this is what I know to be certain. We cannot walk by both fear and faith at the same time. Today is a day that you have to choose. Are you going to walk by faith or be stymied and stuck by fear? And some of you are afraid that if you take a step in the wrong direction, you're going to make a mistake. And I need you to know something. You're going to. And that's okay. Some of the best life lessons I've learned have come at the expense of a traffic ticket, an extra semester in college, and some life lessons that I'll never make those mistakes again, but I had to take a step. And if you are a follower of Jesus, and if you are being led by God's word, and if you are in biblical community, I need you to know something. There's nothing that you can do by making a decision that God cannot redeem, reclaim, and restore for his glory. God wants to do abundantly more than you could ever hope or imagine. So here's the good and the bad news, my friends. God will not always show you what to do, but he will give you the wisdom to decide. What do you need to do? What step do you need to take? Are you afraid? Don't be afraid. 365 times in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid. Don't be stuck. Dive in. Is life uncertain? You better believe it is. But is God good? Not all the time. You can navigate the uncharted waters of the future by trusting in him. Would you join me in prayer? Let's pray. So God, I pray as we begin to kind of move towards a time of commitment that you would begin to reveal to us the areas where we need to allow your wisdom to just intercede in our behalf right now. Maybe there's people in our life and we realize that they are pulling us from you. God, I pray right here, right now, Holy Spirit, that you'd give us the wisdom to discern and the courage to respond. There are people in our life that we need to go to and say, I see Jesus in you. Can I do life with you? I see how you handle your money. I see how you handle your home. I see how you handle your business, your life. God, I have a feeling that you want to begin to move into more and more parts of our life where we've just kind of said, you know what? Maybe not this area, but that area, God. And I think what you're saying is no, I want to step in. I want to give you advice, but you got to ask. And I'm not going to make the decision for you, God's saying. But if you'll ask, I will generously give you wisdom. We serve a God that's not upset with us and angry with us and mad at us, but a God who loves us, that's engaged in us, who wants the very best for us. So God, I pray today, right now, right where we are, that you would begin to reveal to us what our next step needs to be. Before we close with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, if there are some of you right here, right now, and you know today's a day that you just need to take a step in the direction of Jesus. You know that you've been here before, you've been at a crossroads, but you've not jumped in. Maybe it's you've not jumped in out of obedience to be baptized. Today is the day. I encourage you to be obedient in that area. Maybe today's a day that you need to recommit your life to Christ. You've realized that the friendships in your life have been leading you astray, and today's a day that you need to repent of that. It means you need to own up to it, and you need to move in a new direction towards Jesus. Today's that day. And today is the day of salvation for some of you. Today's a day that you're going to say yes to God, and you're going to begin to know that as uncertain as this world is and as uncharted as the waters seem to be, that God, you are true north, and that salvation can be found through no other one than Jesus Christ. And if that's you, now's that moment. Now's that time where you can say yes to God. And so God, whatever that decision is, I pray that you would give us the wisdom to discern it and the courage to respond to it. In Christ's name we pray, amen, amen. In just a moment, guys, you're going to be singing a song. And there's going to be a song that talks about an altar. And it's going to be the altar of a decision that you can make. And some of you guys need to step out in faith. Guys, we as a faith community have been stepping out in faith. stepping out in faith and saying, God, we really sense and feel that you're calling us to a new community. Well, how did we make that decision? Well, we asked God. We trusted God. We surrounded ourselves with wise people. We made a decision, and God, we're trusting that you're going to lead us in that direction. For some of us, you're thinking, well, what about this name change? How did you come to that decision? Well, we asked God for wisdom. We surrounded ourselves with wise people, and we stepped in God's direction, and we're believing that he is there in the midst of it. For some of you, you're wondering, why would we be building another building when we still have that building over there? It still smells new. Why would you do that? Well, because we asked God for wisdom, and he gave us wisdom, and we surrounded ourselves with wise people, and we made a decision, and God is moving us in that direction. Guys, in God's word, when you look to the end of it, we see how it ends. And in the end, God wins. Jesus is victorious. The kingdom expands here on earth as it is in heaven. Guys, I encourage you to not step back, but to step forward into all that God has, not only for you personally, but for here as our faith community. Would you please stand with us at this time as we sing this song, Make This a Spiritual Moment of Decision.